number 24899 Real 4.
Cecily Mackworth, Real 4. You were saying that there were two sentries outside the Arab Legion.
Yeah, outside the door, yes, dressed up, and they were wonderful. And the man who was driving me spoke Arabic, so he did all the negotiations. And he said, come with me, you need fear absolutely nothing, all of the world. And the commander, who was English, I think, said to me, yes, you need fear, he said, you. Don't be afraid of anything. Everything will be perfectly right. And I realized that the Arabs were going to kill anybody who molested me in the smallest way. And then the toilets were down in the basement, you see. So I heard a lot of scurrying going on beneath me. And then in the end, the chief Arab said, Madame, your life is in our hands. No one's trouble. So I went down and did my little thing. And then I came up again, and there were two guards at the end, and I came up and they presented arms to me. So nice.
Did they take you across the front here?
The same man drove me, but he was going to Baghdad, but we got over the frontier, and he put me into something or other. I think it was a postal van or something.
And that was heading to what? You said you were going to Jerusalem.
I went back, yes. Mm-hmm. I got to Jerusalem.
Were you with the Arab Legion? Did you discuss with the officer what was going on? Or?
No, not really. They didn't want to. No, they made a lot of fuss about I ought not have been allowed out of Amman itself for some reason. Mm. And I persuaded them, and they took me out on very nice with several of them. The Belgian minister was there, and the French minister, I think. We went out on a journey to visit a convent up on a hill. And a dear old monk said, sweet, handing out little drinks and little biscuits and things. Very nice. And they were so sweet, so beautiful, so meek. And when he got back, I said, good to see you. There's an atmosphere of peace and holiness there. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, there are monks who've been so wicked that they've been exiled to this convent. They're effectively inaccessible.
They were the naughty monks then?
They were naughty monks.
And what order were they? What religion? Were they Catholic or Greek Orthodox?
Greek Orthodox. Yes. Yeah.
Were there many journalists in Amman, or were you there on your own?
I was on my own at the time.
What had taken you there, then? Why had you gone to Amman from Jerusalem in the first place?
Well, because I wanted to see everything.
Ah. It was just the wanderlust again.
Yes. Mm.
What about Jerusalem? Was there a large body of press there?
There was quite, yes. Oh, yes. There was a lot of American pressmen. Mm. But they never seemed to do anything except sit and drink in the bar.
Well, they didn't go out looking for news?
Not much, no. No, no, it's like in the song I told you about.
Yes.
Getting much too good.
Yeah. Did you find that the journalists there had... was there a sort of collective attitude amongst the journalists, or were they all divided?
I was very stupidly at the time. Mm. I was pro-Jewish because I'd sort of seen all these poor little Jews arriving and so happy, you know, to have a home at last.
Yes.
So I thought that I never suspected they were going to be able to take all the Arab lands and such. And I was on their side, and I wrote it, and I got into awful trouble. Everybody hated me. And in the end, there was some sort of row, I was told, with Robert Graves, who was there for some reason.
What was he doing? Do you know?
Well, I don't know why he was there. I don't know. I never met him. He was very polite. They were all against me because of this, so I didn't know that it was very much into me for the Jews. And well, afterwards I changed my mind and regretted it all, but I think it was quite normal at the time to be like that.
Where were the journalists from? Were they mainly, you said they're Americans there? Were they
Americans.
Americans. Were there a lot of French?
No French.
And
it was the only French.
You were the only one representing French. What about British journalists? Were they present in reasonable numbers?
There was somebody from the big central in the BBC, I suppose it was.
Yes.
But I think that was all. Mm. No, it was almost entirely Americans.
And the Americans were pro-Arab?
Yes. Very much so. Yes. And they couldn't believe that they couldn't understand. They thought it was a sort of political choice, and it wasn't on my part. It was
personal choice.
It was a feminine choice almost, if you like.
Well, there is a British tendency always to favour the current underdog, isn't
there?
Yes,
yes. Well, I very much had that. Mm. And they couldn't understand that at all. Mm. And that's caused me a lot of trouble in afterlife.
What happened to you then eventually? Did you stay in Palestine all the way through for the...
No, I went back. I was there for, a couple of months. And then I went back to Paris, wrote up some things, and then went off again to see the end of the mandate.
Mm. What did you see when the mandate came to an end? What happened then?
Oh, well, there was a complete disorder, of course. I wasn't right through that time, but I didn't see very much I think I had to go back because there was so much trouble against the British at that time.
Mm. Well, the British were pulling out, weren't they?
Progressively. Were pulling out.
Did you see them evacuating?
No. Mm. No, I don't know how they got out. I think they got out in driblets.
There was a plan withdrawal into a shrinking perimeter, and then
I think that was how they did it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Jews were there, and I stayed for a little bit in a kibbutz for a few days.
Where was that?
It was on the shores of Lake Galilee.
So that's right up in the north.
No, Galilee isn't right. Is it in the north?
In the north, in the northeast of Israel, I think.
Oh, maybe, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
So it's near the Syrian frontier, isn't it?
That's right, yes, because I went up to the Syrian. I walked up, so the Syrian frontier, there's a hill or a mountain.
The Golan Heights.
Yes. And it was covered, there were wonderful shards of Roman pottery and things. And I walked up it and started collecting shards, and there were yells that come back instantly, because the Syrians or the Arabs were making quite a good thing of kidnapping anybody who got onto there. And then they had to be brought back, so they didn't want to buy me back. So I watched that come down quickly.
What was this kibbutz like? Was it a defended settlement, or was it open?
No, at that time it was still very primitive. Mm. It was wooden buildings, a fruit farm, and Soviet style. Huh? There were quite a number of Jewish sort of farm settlements which had the same, they had a name for them. It wasn't a kibbutz, but it was rather the same and run on the Soviet principle.
Collective farming,
yes.
And what was this settlement defended in any way? Did they have any?
No.
Were the settlers armed?
I suppose they had a few guns, not visibly. And we went over and had tea with the Arabs in the neighbouring village.
Were they on good terms?
Very much so, yes. Mm.
Did you see any of the fighting in that area?
No, but I saw a lot around Jerusalem.
Huh. That earlier on or?
It used to break out here and there. Mm. And there, I don't remember exactly which places, but I had seen quite a lot of fighting and been prevented from going to places because there was too much. Well, some of us wanted to go and get our fortunes told by the... there's a special tribe there which only marries among itself. There are just a few, only about 8 people left, and they have a fortune, a way of telling your fortune. I'm not wanting to do that. but if there was too much fighting, he couldn't get there.